An update on the labor movement, plus the state of infrastructure, and corkage fees at the harvest level. I'm David Brancaccio. There's been a win for union organizers at an Amazon warehouse on Staten Island, New York. A hearing officer for a federal labor board has blocked Amazon's bid to set aside a union vote. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has that.
The union push in Staten Island is, so far, the only successful one at an Amazon warehouse. The Amazon labor union includes more than 8,000 workers. But it's been a long road to bargaining since the historic vote in April. Amazon sought to overturn the election by filing more than 24 objections with the National Labor Relations Board, claiming the vote was tainted by organizers and an NLRB regional office that oversaw the election. That resulted in a 24-day-long hearing. And the journey isn't over. Experts say companies who don't want a unionized workforce often refuse to negotiate. More union pushes are underway at Amazon warehouses across the country, including North Carolina and Kentucky. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Stock index futures are little changed right now ahead of the big employment reports due later this morning. The capital and most populous city in Mississippi, that's Jackson, has this water problem. This week, officials announced that most of the city's 150,000 residents were without safe drinking water. The problem stems from underinvestment in water infrastructure. And as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, this tends to happen in cities that also have majority black populations and a legacy of white people moving out.
The American Society of Civil Engineers gave drinking water infrastructure throughout the United States a C- in its 2021 infrastructure report card.
What's led us to that has been underinvestment.
Joseph Kane's a fellow at the Brookings Institution focusing on infrastructure issues.
Water infrastructure, similar to other infrastructure systems like transportation, energy, for decades, have just not received durable and predictable funding.
Part of the problem is that most cities use low-interest federal loans to fund infrastructure investments. David Sedlak, director of the Water Center at UC Berkeley, says those loans have to be paid back, and they don't cover everything.
The day-to-day operations and ultimately the costs of those loans come back to the billing cycle and the customer's ability to pay.
In Jackson, Mississippi, where the population is more than 80% black, white flight has drained the city's tax base. When white residents and businesses left to avoid desegregation in the 1960s and later, they took their tax dollars with them. Eric Avila at UCLA says, we saw a similar situation in Flint, Michigan, which speaks to broader infrastructure inequality.
When it comes to basic services like water, transportation, electricity, you know, even the internet, it can't be based on a, you know, who can pay and who can't pay basis.
And the solution, he says, lies in public policy that treats things like water access as fundamental human rights. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
In Portugal, this time of year, axe-wielding gangs can be seen in the countryside hacking at trees. It's the cork harvest. Natural cork, a material that, done right, has a negative carbon footprint. The trees eat more carbon-altering carbon dioxide than put out by production. And there's new technology to help the axe brigade. The BBC's Alastair Lighthead reports.
It's the sound of summer in the rolling hills of Alentejo, Portugal's largest and most rural province. It's harvest time in the cork oak forests, and the men are stripping off the bark quickly, carefully, and efficiently. João Sobral is a cork buyer who knows that takes a lot of skill and experience.
You know, this is one of the most paid jobs in agriculture and forests.
Little's changed since Roman times, but new technology is helping.
So this is a new way of extracting cork. We have a chainsaw.
A tiny chainsaw which senses moisture in the living part of the tree.
When she feels that it has a lot of humidity, she stops the chainsaw from entering the cork.
It protects the tree, and the skilled axemen can harvest faster, stacking the planks to be trucked to the factory near the northern city of Porto.
Carlos de Jesus works for Amarin, the world's largest cork producer. So we're looking at those strips of the very best cork, and we are looking at a series of cylindrical holes punched horizontally on the cork plane.
The leftovers are granulated and compressed into cheaper composite corks and other products like wall and floor insulation and even space rocket nose cones. And the dust is burnt to power the factory.
In the cork industry, nothing, absolutely nothing is wasted.
In-house material scientists are mixing cork with biopolymer offcuts from other industries to give cork new properties like plasticity.
I believe that if we are serious in the world about sustainability, we should consume products that clearly can capture CO2.
Antonio Rioch de Amarim is the Cork Empire's fourth generation chief executive.
They are so a carbon sink. For every single ton of cork produced, 73 tons of CO2 that are captured. And no cork tree is cut, only the bark is peeled off. It means that that tree never interrupts its carbon capture throughout its very long life.
More research is needed to prove cork's exact carbon capturing credentials. But in this unique landscape, and amid efforts to counter climate change, the cork oak tree is standing tall.
He's with the BBC, Alistair Lighthead. In close to an hour and a half, we'll get the big reports on hiring and unemployment for August. For one, the government counts up payrolls. For the other, they call up households. The collective guess by experts is that 318,000 more people were getting paychecks last month, 40% fewer than the month before. If it comes in lower than that, this might suggest that higher interest rates are at work to slow things down. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.